In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved of the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
us pray. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Apostlestide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the 18th chapter. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and bake cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. And then he took curds and milked the calf that he had prepared, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Sarah and Abraham were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud.
Be gracious to me and answer me.
You have said, Seek my face.
My heart says to you, Your face, Lord, do I see.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
For my father and my mother have forsaken me.
But the Lord will take me in.
Teach me your way, O Lord.
And lead me on the level path because of my enemies.
Give me not up to the will of my adversaries.
For false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence.
I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord.
In the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord.
Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now,
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the first chapter. You, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless, and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I have become a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
According to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father.
mercy, and peace from the one who has set the table before you. The text today is Luke chapter 10, as Pastor read, and we'll read it again. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Today's sermon starts with a very stressful subject, intimate to most of us or all of us. And blood pressure may escalate, so I'll start with it to get it out of the way. And I did ask Pastor for permission, and he said yes. It's caused fights between women and men, between parents and children, brothers and sisters, roommates and friends. Two distinct sides of the argument, one of them may be very right, and the other one may be very wrong. Statistically speaking, you're probably half and half. How to load a dishwasher. I'm not going to say which side I'm on, and I'm not going to ask you, because I don't want to sin against my brother this morning. I'll just say that I'm right. And we can all guess which people are on which side, based on their personalities, based on other aspects of their life, but it's surprisingly unpredictable. The messiest, most forgetful person can have the most obsessive routine, rules and reasons for loading what they think is the most wonderful invention of mankind. And the practical, level-headed, clean person who exudes wisdom can go absolutely insane. The good news is that there will not be any dishwashers in heaven. God must have made sure at least about that. We all have personalities that are good in certain situations and bad in others. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Did you ask yourself when I read it, "Well, Martha should have," or "Mary should have," or did you know better than both of them? All we know is that if the house had a dishwasher, the text would be very different. Mary might have, for instance, thrived on being with people. That's why she was out in the living room. Martha might have had her zone as a hostess. I know that I have to make some conscious decisions to stay away from the grill because it calls to me. And I like being in the kitchen after a party, cleaning, while other people relax with coffee. But sometimes I don't. Attitude is very important when it comes to work. Here's what Martha had going for her. Verse 38, now they went on their way, and Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She did the right thing. She showed the hospitality that Jesus expected. He had just recently sent out the 72 to proclaim his word. And he said to them, "If a son of peace is in that house that you enter, your peace will rest upon him. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Whenever they receive you, eat and drink what is set before you." Jesus needed a house to enter, and Martha was ready. "Come in, come in, you're just in time." This is what was expected of her. Invite him and his disciples in. Feed them, give them rest, that they might be rejuvenated. Here's what Mary had going for her. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. The last time I preached to you several weeks ago, we saw the demon-possessed man sitting at Jesus' feet. And I said, of course he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Where else would he be? Mary got it. But let Martha answer that. Martha, where else should she be? Verse 40, Martha was distracted. Much serving. She went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Martha, I'm really trying to be on your side. But she was distracted. The Greek is more closely drawn away, or cumbered, like encumbered, like hindered or oppressed. She was drawn away with much serving. She was cumbered. Her work was a hindrance. Speaking of hindrances, yes, if you put a large mixing bowl on the bottom rack of a dishwasher, the dishes on top will be hindered. The water won't get to where it needs to go. It's not doing its job right. Also, stack back to front. Also, envision what you want it to look like when it's full. But it's okay if you want to smack me, because God works with different personalities. Also, speaking of hindrances, has your family dropped any holiday traditions? Because people are getting old, or dying, or they moved away. And the work that goes into these traditions has become a burden, or a hindrance. Sometimes, paper plates and Dixie cups really do free up the work, and there can be time for more talk, more play, more celebration. Hospitality is, after all, a human connection. But do you remember your grandmother's silverware that you keep maybe in the front closet, that she used to dust off and polish every Christmas, every year, before she died so long ago? Maybe take out the silverware this year and polish it off. Do you remember still how to wash it, how to polish, scrub the spots out till you see your face? If the work distracts you from the whole point of the holiday, find the point of the holiday again. If the work, though, if the service unites us in our hospitality for our guests and for each other, and we delight in the work, then do it. Work well and in love. Polish the silverware. Get the creases right on the napkins. After all, your guests are worth it. Some people eat at expensive restaurants so that others looking on can see how rich they are. There are people who are poorer. When they get a chance to eat at a restaurant, a nice restaurant, they eat to enjoy the heck out of the food. What's the point of being at the table? Martha and Mary were both hosting. Martha was hosting Jesus, the man, her friend, the one who needed food to drink, food to eat, water to drink. Mary was on another level altogether. By opening her ears and her heart, she was hosting Jesus, the living Word. Jesus was a guest in Martha's home. He was a guest in Mary's heart. Come in, come in, Mary's heart sings. You're just in time. It's a short passage, and we can only work with what Luke has given us. But we do have the Martha should haves. Martha should have had a better attitude. Martha should have focused on her task at hand rather than what her sister was doing. Martha should have relaxed a little bit with her preparations, if they were too much to handle. She should have reached out to Mary first instead of involving Jesus. She should have left Jesus alone. He was teaching and had work to do. But maybe Mary, too. Mary should have been helping her sister. She should have understood the need, her role in the house. She should have thought about what others needed, not just herself. And she should have got up and left Jesus alone. But there are no Jesus should-haves. There's only Jesus did. Jesus did have a good attitude. Jesus did focus on his task at hand. Jesus did understand his role. How many things did he do in order that scriptures may be fulfilled? He did think about what others needed, over himself, to the point of death. Martha and Mary should have left Jesus alone, more like Jesus should have left them alone, and me, and you. But you're his priority. You're his one needful thing. Created out of love and rescued out of the same love. But instead of Christ leaving you alone, his own Father left him alone. My God, why have you forsaken me? He cried on the cross and died for Mary and for Martha. It doesn't end, though, with Martha or Mary or Jesus being left alone. It ends with the focus on the celebration, on the feast, the whole point of the holiday. Verse 41, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary's chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her." The good portion is that which satisfies the soul and leaves it not wanting. The word of the Lord. "And I shall not want." One thing is needful, necessary. That is to put the word of the Lord above all else. There are no priorities in life. There is one priority. It's singular. It's that which draws you away from all else if needed. If you have more than one priority, then some priorities are pulling away from others, and your work, your life, has become a hindrance. Martha needed to get there. Jesus helped, and he responded with understanding and love to her. He knew both Mary and Martha's personalities, their responsibilities, and especially what was needed for them at that moment. They both needed to see the one needful thing. And Jesus, their friend and Savior, knows what they need. Here's where the dishwasher comes in. You can be very right and then think everyone else is wrong. But you can be very wrong about that same too. Jesus knows what's right and what's wrong for everyone else because we have all different personalities. Does anyone here have family members that all have the same personalities? We all have different personalities because do you want to say, "Jesus, tell my sister or my brother or friend or neighbor just to do the right thing, like me"? Are you a Mary or a Martha? Neither. You're you. You're distinct, worth dying for. Jesus knows what you need, and he knows what your family needs. Our families, guys, have been given to us by God, and we need to treat them as such. Thinking we know the right way and that Jesus needs to catch up, like Martha, it will leave us dirty. And obviously, the sermon isn't about how all of you load your dishwashers, but it is about how to get spots away. We are washed clean, with our spots removed. We're pulled out of that closet and dusted off, polished until we are so clean that we can see, we reflect our Master's face. Through the crucifixion of the abandoned Son on the cross, Martha has stopped being the host for Christ. Now it's the other way around. And that's why we are not the true hosts. We are the tired travelers. We need a place to stay. Accept Christ's hospitality. Here, at the altar, Christ does invite us in. he says with an open door and a singing heart and scars in his hands and his feet. Come in, come in. You're just in time. After all, he says, my guests are worth it. Some people eat at expensive restaurants so that others looking on can see how rich they are. We being poor arrive at the table to see how rich the food has made us. Take this with you this week. God bless. Go in the peace until we meet again. Amen. I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you have made your word fully known in your Son and in the proclamation of his gospel. Bring many out of this world and into the communion of your church to share the riches he has won for us in his death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your minister St. Paul suffered for the sake of Christ's church and called both Jews and Gentiles into Christ's one body. Sustain this unity through the word of truth, and grant your ministers faithful hearts to endure sufferings in our day. Through the labor of the Reverend Leslie Chen as Associate Pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Nashua, gather an abundant harvest of souls, and grant the same to our congregation and our other New England district congregations. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you chose Abraham and Sarah, though barren, to bring forth the promised Christ. Grant your heavenly comfort to those without children. Hear their prayers and grant their godly desire. Provide for children in foster care and give to foster parents the wisdom and love needed to make their homes places of peace and safety. Sustain all expectant mothers and the children they carry, especially Kristen Gregory, Kristen Hanlon, Melinda Bergeron, Allie Moore, Shayla Moore, Alyssa Anderson, Joelle Brotmarkle, and Brooke Sanford. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, overturn the lies of the enemies. Defend and protect those who provide care for mothers, fathers, and their unborn children. Watch over all pregnancy resource centers, their staff and clients, especially First Concern, CareNet, Clearway Clinic, and Problem Pregnancy. Preserve their reputations, protect their property, and help them to continue their work boldly and without interruption. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give wisdom and patience to all in authority, especially to our president, our governor, our legislators, judges, and those in the leadership of our towns. Bless them with integrity as they serve, always for the benefit of those under their leadership, to maintain righteousness and to hinder and punish wickedness. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, be with all husbands and wives, and especially grant your grace to John McGuire and Aaron Kate Dooley as they are joined together in holy matrimony. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your people suffer in this life before they reach your heavenly kingdom. Sustain Rich Verano, Kay Emmerich, Daniel Oliver, Diane Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Melinda Bergeron, Anne Blaze, Heather Connell, John Erickson, Bobby Joe Ewing, Karina Thaw, John Gogan, Jackie Gordon, Randy Hunter, Anne Iadanisi, Rosemary Jackson, Nancy Kengis, Robert Matsuo, Anthony Simeone, and all who suffer among us. Give them the same spirit you gave your servant Paul, that they may endure in faith. And we give thanks to you for hearing our prayers on behalf of our sister, Ayla Eagle. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, when you appeared to Abraham, he offered a feast of which he himself did not partake. Receive our offerings this day, including our benevolence offerings, and grant us bold faith to partake of the body and blood of Christ for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have forgiven our sins and delivered us from death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pour out your mercy upon us and grant to us all good things needful to this body and life, and keep from us all things harmful. For you, through you, and to you are all things, O Lord, Holy Father, mighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one Lord, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We continue with the new committus.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.